Welcome to the Mondo Homunculero Podcast, deep in the heart of Thanateros Studios at the Casa de Mondo Zaskia. It's April the 28th, a Wednesday. Year is 2021, Era Vulgaris, and today I have a special guest, an old friend of mine, CJ, and we're going to talk about a lot of different subjects. First of all, I wanted to ask you, what led you to study conspiracy theories?
Wow. I mean, I guess it started years and years ago in college in the early 90s. And every night as I lay in bed, I used to listen to Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, yeah.
And Art was fantastic. And anyone out there that's been listening to radio for a long time, they know that Art had all kinds of crazy people on his show. Just literally crazy people.
Right.
And they would talk about everything from Hollow Earth to shadow people and everything in between. And every once in a while, he'd get someone on there that sounded like they were legit. And Art, when he would talk to people, would always be open-minded. He would always say, he would never go, "Wow, that's the most ridiculous shit that I've ever heard in my life." He would open up and let them talk and ask them questions and get them talking more. And these people had traveled the circuit. You know, there was this underground circuit of conspiracy theory and UFO enthusiast shows, and they would peddle their books. And, you know, there was a whole community that was about conspiracy theory, and there wasn't. It didn't have a lot of eyes on it. It was a very niche group of people that were interested. And every night I'd lay there, mostly, you know, half stoned and falling asleep, and it would be just outlandish thing. And a lot of it I found hilarious, just it purely comical. And it, every night I would fall asleep to that. And so as the internet came into being and we had greater access to all kinds of crazy shit, I would always want to find out, okay, where did this come from? Who came up with this? Where did this start to propagate? Who were the first people that put this out there in the universe? And then who were the other people that kind of were feeders that would pile onto one thing and then amplify that thing until it became, you know, an established conspiracy theory.
Right.
And that always fascinated me, especially someone that at that time in school I was studying philosophy and thinking and logic, and then that's how I entertained my brain there.
Yeah. All right. So you still kind of follow conspiracy theories and probably have some ones that are kind of pet ones now. Is that correct?
Well, you and I know that back in the day, the early times of the internet, and I'm not proud of this, and it's one of those things that I look back on, I think that in retrospect, it probably wasn't a good thing to do, but we used to spend some time on certain boards back in the day.
Right.
And used to amplify crazy ideas to sucker gullible people into believing stupid shit. And it was fun.
Yeah, right.
It was fun. It was a good time.
Oh, it sure was.
It was a good time. Oh, it was great. Trolling people to believe that the Earth was only 6,000 years old and that fossils were placed there by the devil,
right,
was one of my favorite things to do in the past. That was a great pastime. It was how I spent a lot of my time. And from that, I kind of got a little bit of the behind the scenes of conspiracy theory, which was, it breaks down into three different groups. It's seeders, feeders, and marks. And a seeder is someone that writes an outlandish, technical sounding paper and puts it out into the world, and then feeders like myself would amplify that thing and direct other people at it, use that as proof that this thing might be legitimate. And marks were just the dumb, just the top-breathing moron that would run into it, that we would sucker into believing ridiculous shit. And I guess now to this day, it's only gotten worse. I mean, the plat greater critical thinking in general has diminished, and you have people that believe just the most ridiculous bullshit. It's great. I love it.
Right. Oh man, I love it. Yeah, they've gotten pretty crazy. I mean, you know, the flat earthers resurfaced, and
they're going strong. And then David Icke threw in all the lizard people bullshit. He's gotten even more traction over the years.
Yeah,
his head has been bumped way too many times. Poor guy. Yeah. His worldview is so deranged, and he has an IQ of maybe 86. So he's just like right above functionally retarded.
Right.
But then he has a platform because he was a soccer player, and so he got on TV, and people came to see him speak at events, and they believe him, and he's just regurgitating garbage. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
That he just made it all up. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I wonder if he actually believes it. That's what gets me, because I know
I think he does.
I think he is fairly sincere, and I know people that really think he's legit. I mean, that's what I think. You know, I of course I've been a misanthrope for years, but it's you know, I've kind of drifted away from that, and I want to give people a break, but it's hard on that one. That's really tough.
Yeah, that one you look at and you just go, oh, that poor guy. His worldview is just so changed. If he didn't have the platform he had,
right,
he would just be a crazy person.
Right.
Saying stupid shit on the corner that
right.
people would ignore.
And just right. walk right by. Right. Right. You know, he's just I mean, the reptilians are probably my favorite one. I love that one.
It's great because it ties into everything else, including one of my favorite conspiracies, which is, and as your listeners, because once we go into this topic, everyone's going to just, they've already made up their mind, and I understand. I was there too, and we all made up our mind on what it was that we saw and why it happened. So we can dive into it, but it's a real conspiracy, and it's multiple conspiracies.
Right.
And there's multiple people involved in this conspiracy, and the levels to which people have tried to explain this, it's evolved into madness. And one of the most frustrating things to me about this conspiracy is the people that perpetrated this thing, they got away with it.
Yeah.
They got away with it. They continue to get away with what they did.
Yeah.
So there's the original conspiracy, which is a bunch of guys decided to fly some airliners into this building.
Right.
There's the second conspiracy, which is after that event happened, that we wanted to maintain relations with the country we were supposed to maintain. And the last conspiracy was the attempted cover-up of the level at which that wasn't. They were involved.
Right.
And that's, to me, and not only that, there's another one in there, which is a campaign of influence with millions and millions of dollars with lobbyist groups within that Beltway Washington political scene.
Right.
To try to obfuscate the truth. Just right. to try to make, and the most successful outcome of any conspiracy, especially when it's to mislead people, is to come to the conclusion that we'll never know. As soon as you're able to muddy the water to the point where if you ask them on the street who did this event, and they tell you you may never know,
right.
That's when you know they pulled it off. They pulled it off.
That's right. Yep. That's right. And that one, I mean, on the other show that I do with some other friends of mine, you know, that's probably the most often often reported observation by people we talk to. They're like, we just don't know, you know, we don't know. It's
and that's the thing, is that we do know.
Yeah.
We do know.
Yeah.
And we've documented it, and we've investigated it, and
right.
we had a definitive outcome.
Right.
There was a report of which part of that report still redacted.
Right.
Those pages were released.
Right.
The infamous 28 pages.
Right.
But by the time the 28 pages were released, and the level to which that foreign government was involved, and the people and the players inside that government were involved,
right.
It was already too late. It was
right.
already too late. The water was muddy. There was so much ridiculous shit that was put out into
yeah.
the ether that people already believed.
Right.
And they did it. They got away with it.
They did.
And the crazy part about that country, and I don't even like to say the name of that country.
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
But I think everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah, because 15 of them, you know, they're all citizens of that country. And
right.
the perpetrator of it that set it in motion was a citizen of that country. I'm pretty son of a very wealthy member of that country. And then the people that were involved behind the scenes that were called out, 28 pages, were of the political elite and deep state, I guess you can call it, in that country.
Right.
So the dynamic in that country, people don't realize, is that the royal family of that country is just a bunch of inbred mouth breathers. These people
yeah.
so dumb.
They are.
It's not uncommon for them to marry their first cousin.
Right.
They've been doing it for generations.
That's right.
It's something they do on a regular basis. It's just a fact. It's
right.
Like, there's actually, like, medical organizations that set up, you know, groups there to try to study genetic disorders from inbreeding. It's prolific. So they don't know what's going on. But there's a group that run that country that were sympathetic to a cause
right.
by a very charismatic person that was the mouthpiece of that. And he was a very well-spoken, kind of soft-spoken, almost like a religious figure. And his goal was to get the fucking Americans out of his country.
Yep.
He didn't want them there. He didn't want normalized relations with
right.
America.
And
he there was a bunch of people that were in the power dynamic of that country that agreed with him.
Right.
And happily helped in his cause to the point where they met people at the airport, picked him up, they signed him up for apartments, they drove him around,
they
got signed up for flight lessons, there was money coming in from different people to help to support them. There was groups in Florida and Arizona,
so yep.
a whole group of people in Virginia, and imams and support people, security people that were at embassies. And when you read the report, and you read the 28 pages, and you see the level to which it was aided and embedded.
From right.
the moment that they arrived, not speaking a lick of English, but they were able to get everything they needed.
Yeah.
And spent the next couple of years putting this plan together to the point where they actually, the embassy of that country bought flights for people flew from Arizona to D.C. who tried to gain entry to the cockpit. Most people don't even know that happened. They literally tried to gain access to the cockpit on a flight from Arizona to D.C. just to see how he's doing.
That's correct. Yeah, they did.
And people don't know. People don't even know.
No.
So, for me, that and the conspiracy after the fact with the lobbyists and the influence peddlers, and the politicians who, again, obfuscated, they put a sheen over the top of that screen so you could never get a clear picture on the other side.
Right.
And all those people that did that are fucking traitors. They're traitors. Every one of them. And that is the real conspiracy. The real conspiracy was the American citizens knowing they aided in the cover up of the involvement of that country. And to this day, cash those checks to pay for their kids' colleges and the house that they have along.
Yeah.
And all those people are traitors. They're traitors. is, whether you believe in some kind of karmic justice or whatever it might be, but if for nothing else, someone's going to come and shit on their grave.
Yep. And you know what's
most
odd?
Most likely he's going to look like me.
Yeah, and what's odd to me, you know, tying into that is, okay, so you had the journalist that got strangled and dismembered while he was still alive, right? And then, yeah. And that got swept under the rug handily, you know, on a federal level because of obvious reasons. And then, oddly enough, that country and the reason that they're probably pissed off up in the Middle East, right? I'll just go ahead and say it, Israel, you know, that they're pissed off about Israel. And yet now that country and Israel are kind of like buddies.
They've kind of normalized relations at this point. And it's, I guess, you know, looking at it from kind of a global normalization of relationships, you kind of, your goal is to want normalized relations.
Right.
But let's not pretend that those people don't fucking hate each other.
No, they do.
Let's not pretend that those people both wish, pray to, you know, whichever version of, you know, the higher power that they pray to before they close their eyes at night, but that the other vanishes all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a couple Jewish friends that get mad at me because I say, you know, I'm anti Zionist extremists. I mean, just what's been done to the Palestinian people, for example, you know, all for the benefit.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
You lose the moral high ground when you do that to another. You lose your moral authority when you treat another group of people the way that they treat you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and it's hard for you to stand up and say, hey, you know, we have this moral authority. It really what it comes down to, and this is the root of it all, is that one believes that their right to that place is based in a Bronze Age book of Jewish fairy tales.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking lie. They have no right to that. None of those things happen.
No.
That book is it's not worth wiping your ass with, let alone as a historical document.
I mean,
and whatever's written in that book does not give you any authority to occupy any place, especially if there's already people there.
Yeah, the Christians have been trying to confirmation bias archaeological evidence for all the early Judaism scholars and prophets. They've been trying to, you know, prove their existence, and you can't. There's, you know, there's no proof.
You can't. There's a great book out there I read in college. You and I have talked about it years ago, called The Bible on Earth.
Yep.
It was written by two scholars from the big university in Jerusalem.
Right.
And I read it years ago, and they went through all the different major events and their best guess for the geographical location of all those things that happened. And they did their due diligence, and there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Those things didn't happen.
No.
Their allegory and story and fairy tale, none of those things are real.
Right. And you know, all those figures, for the most part, are composites. Now, one of the big things rolling through the mythicist circles, now the mythicists are the guys that say, you know, Jesus was a myth, right? They're the ones who say that. And a big topic that's circulating through there is that Jesus was a composite of a bunch of revolutionaries.
And if you look at all of the other faiths at the time in the region, that story's been told over and over and over again before it became the Jesus story.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Now, the only archaeological allusion to evidence that they have is based on this grave that they found, this catacomb there was a stone box that supposedly had the remains of James, the brother of Jesus.
Yeah, the brother, yeah.
But there's nothing in there. I mean, just dust. So that's not proof either. But that just goes on and on and on. I mean, all these things are contrived to subjugate people, basically. You know, it's just like...
it's always been about control. I mean,
yeah,
we have to keep each other. We got a preview of it during this last year. Okay, yep. We got to see what level how we're able to treat each other, or how we're willing to treat each other when we run out of something to wipe our ass with.
Right.
So just imagine what would happen if the grocery stores all ran out of food. If the grocery stores ran out of food, people would be bashing each other's skulls for a fucking can of SpaghettiOs.
Yeah.
And don't kid yourself to think that that's not still possible. It's absolutely possible.
Oh,
we've got certainly 8 months worth of food on the whole planet. That's our entire food supply. It's probably less. I think it's maybe 6 to 8 months total. Every stitch of food that's prepared on the shelf throughout the entire globe.
Yeah.
If there's a major disruption in that process, of course we're going to eat each other. We've always eaten each other.
Yep.
Throughout all of history.
I know. It's not really funny, but it is hilarious. I mean, it's...
We love to eat each other. We love to eat each other. We have no problem with food. When it comes down to it, we're happy to throw a leg up on the rotisserie. Well, absolutely.
Look at how the right-wing nuts are going crazy now because we're going to take away their meat. First it was the guns, right? Take away our guns. Then it was, we're going to take away our meat, right? We're not going to be able to eat hamburgers anymore because, as we know, looking at the data on carbon emissions, that, you know, ruminant animals pump shitloads of methane into the atmosphere.
Actually, and it's just, if you look at the caloric output versus the input,
right,
of what it takes by water and feed and everything else to produce,
right, yeah,
calories, just actual calories.
Right.
It's a terribly inefficient system. Oh, really is.
It's like 5 pounds of food.
Don't get me wrong.
For 1 pound of meat.
Yeah.
Or more. I think it's more than that. Absolutely. Like 7 pounds, I believe. Yeah, for beef.
It's ridiculously inefficient. Terribly inefficient. It's wasteful. But, you know, we got to feed them. We got to feed all of the mouth breathers because if we don't, they're going to eat each other. It's just the way it's built. It doesn't matter how much they love Christ. It doesn't matter how often they go to church. When that rumble happens in their belly and they haven't eaten for 4 days,
right?
Their neighbor Jeff is looking pretty tasty.
Yep. Well, the Russians did it during the famine.
Oh, everyone's done it.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
There's a great archaeological dig in Spain. There's a cave there.
Right.
And I forget the name of it. I should have had it available. But you can go online, just Google Spain archaeological evidence, and what you'll see is layer upon layer of human bone that's been, the evidence is that the flesh has been removed from the bone, and the bone's been cracked so they can suck out the juicy innards.
The marrow. So yeah, the marrow, yeah.
And it's Neanderthal, and it's Homo erectus, it's Heidelberg man, everyone's in the pile. Everyone's in there.
Oh, yeah.
So we're all tasty. That's the way it works.
Well, yeah, famine comes, and, you know, closest available food source. There was the...
Well, I just imagine if you raid a neighbor village and you bash everyone's skulls, and you're just going to let that rot and field? Oh, no. Oh, not going to let that meat rot. No,
especially when you're out of mammoth meat. You know, you're not... If you don't have any auric meat or mammoth meat, you're not going to go chase down a deer when Fred is dead. So,
no one's going to let Fred go to waste.
No. Fred's good food. So, 99%, it's the most biologically available meat source that a human can consume is another human.
It's terrible.
People don't know that.
It's terrible.
People don't know it. They just don't know it.
I know.
It's amazing what they don't know. So, out of the recent conspiracy theories, what is kind of your favorite one right now, out of the recent ones?
Wow, there's so many. It's really, Facebook has given a platform to everything.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, the proliferation of David Icke is shocking to me.
Yeah.
I never thought that he would be that prolific and shared, and they've actually taken some of the thematic principles from some of his crazy, you know, manuscripts, and then they've added those to their own crazy conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah.
So he's actually gained a whole other level of legitimacy because other people are using that, you know, lizard DNA background to talk about other things.
Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, it's just like one of my favorites was the thing about the royals, the British royals, eating children. And when Prince Philip and the old queen came over to Canada, and all these Native American, or I shouldn't say American, but Native peoples, children went missing. There was that, well, you know, and of course, that goes back to the David Icke thing about the reptilians, that these guys are white Dracos, and their jaws unhinge, and they just eat them whole. They just like, just crunch a baby for Jesus, you know? It's like.
It's so great. It's so great.
So you got to get, you got to get your tinfoil hat ready, brother.
No, that's one of my favorites is Icke. And just because I've seen him from the beginning, you know, pop up and then spout his bullshit, and to see where he's at now, you know, the legitimacy that he has. And now he's writing multiple books.
I know, and he's made millions.
I think he's on YouTube.
Way
more than he ever did playing soccer.
I'm not sure if he's unbanned there. He was banned, you know. He's banned from Facebook. I mean, all you have on Facebook are groups, you know, that are big David Icke, you know, fans. And what happens is the minute they put up a video or something of his, it gets taken down by Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people are just, man, it's just like the Q, you know. Look what happened with the Q people. I mean.
Yeah, the Q thing's fascinating because I've watched it happen real time.
Now, didn't you have a lot of information on Watkins? I mean, were you? You said so,
well,
I think you told
everyone
me
everyone knew. Everyone knew that back in the day. So there's a place on the internet that shall not be named. That's the way that most people who've been there refer to it as.
Right.
People that are in the know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
We all watched it happen in real time, and it used to be that people would just post as like, "I'm special agent," or "I know this," or "I have ultra classified."
Right.
Make some outlandish prediction, and then other people would amplify it, you know, post it. It was funny. It was hilarious. You know, and people would say really stupid shit, like, all the hot dogs are going to run out, or, you know, you wait and see. And this is, you know, it was funny, mostly memes. It was all memes.
Yeah, and look at Michael and Flynn. Then, look at General Flynn. Look what he. God. Talk about traitors.
Again, when you lack critical thinking. When you lack critical thinking, eventually it's going to come around by chance, especially if you're both figures mouth off about ridiculous bullshit.
Oh.
But to watch it happen, and then really what it comes down to is, and from my understanding, there's this, again, I don't even want to say the name of this company, because God forbid, you know, they're probably scanning everything with dirty bastards. But
yep.
They have this thing that they put up for groups, and people had shared interest. They'd be in these groups, and if you were in that group, then the adjacent group, who other people were also interested, would be promoted to you. So before you knew it, a bunch of, you know, people in their 60s, 70s who've never been exposed to conspiracy theory before, who I guess at one time just believed everything they read because they thought everything. I don't know how they process this information. And obviously not well, you know, based on the outcome.
No.
But they started being introduced to this ridiculous story, which was a combination of, again, those multiple stories. There's a little bit of David Icke in there. There's a little bit of really old stories from back in the day, back in the early days,
yep.
1920s and 30s, old stories in there, too. So there's all those kind of mixed together into this pseudo-Illuminati, mostly leftist.
God.
You know, it's again, it's and this deep state, and you know, and pretty outlandish. And someone like me that would read it, oh, I'd love it. I love it because it makes me laugh. Because it's hilarious. Because me, it's like fan fiction.
I have
it's a, like reading. Go ahead.
I have a book here that you would get a huge kick out of. Now, one of my buddies on the other show. He got sucked into this. He got sucked into that whole light worker paradigm. You know, these people are here to advance the cause of, you know, love and compassion, all that for mankind, right? And now, so somebody in the calling themselves part of the Illuminati got a hold of him. And, you know, the Illuminati was not a benevolent organization. The real Bavarian Illuminati was not. I mean, they were anti-Freemason. That was their big deal. They hated the Freemasons, and there were all kinds of plots and things that they actually almost pulled off, right, to the point where the Bavarian government got rid of them, you know, disbanded them. So this guy turned me onto this book. It's so funny. I wish I could send it to you. it's called The 66 Laws of the Illuminati. And
oh, man. So he actually gave it all principles and adherence.
But check this out, okay? It has a grand total. I'm going to get to that page here. Oh, the pages are not even numbered. There might be 70 or 80 pages in this. and these laws...
A lot of work.
These laws are just a reworking of common sense. It's funny. Like, here's Law 28. Make things right when you have committed a wrong. Duh.
Okay.
I mean, there's good stuff in there, don't get me wrong. But these guys are not...
Don't shit where you eat. Is that in there?
Yeah, that is in there also, basically. it's not in that exact, you know, wording, but yes, that's in there. All these things that we just common sense shit that everybody knows pretty much. And this guy was believing that this is this one even has its own secret handshake and greeting and all password.
Oh, you gotta have that.
Oh yeah.
You gotta have that.
Oh, yeah, and it's not unlike all the secret handshakes, you know, that are out there. It's just really, I mean, and it's all white light, you know, we're all good, we're just here to advance the cause of man, and then a bunch of shit about success, you know, and how to be.
So it's kind of like 48 laws of power meeting a little bit of, If only.
It's not even... good Dr. Seuss, to be honest. But it's like, my buddy, he just doesn't know. He hasn't done the reading, you know. He hasn't, you know, he just doesn't know, you know. And
It's tough, though. To try to parse all of this out, having limited exposure to it and not knowing what's behind it. Right. Those dramatic principles, that the recurring principles that you and I have seen over again, being a fan of
right.
And it's like a genre that you're just now introduced to.
Right.
That it's hard to make heads or tails of it. And some of it, the nature of it is to try to pull you in as the reader.
Right.
Into, you're in the know.
Right.
They're letting you in a secret. They're showing you a behind the curtain view of what makes things. And that's intriguing to people.
Oh,
that's,
man, they love
that,
it.
That draws you in. It's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? The earth is hollow and there's dinosaurs. That's amazing. That's awesome. I can't believe that.
Did you see
the earth is flat?
Did you see Godzilla versus Kong? Did you see that?
Yeah. I saw the end where they're in the inner earth.
Oh, it's so great, man. That part is great.
I can't believe they did that.
Oh, it was so wonderful. Crazy. I loved it. It was like Journey to the Center of the Earth on steroids.
I can't believe they used Hollow Earth.
Oh, of course. Why not? You know, I mean, you know, let's just throw out everything. Forget about baby in the bathwater. Just throw the whole bathtub out. Just it was great.
It's hard to believe that, again, laying there listening to Art Bell and crazy people
talking
about Hollow Earth, to see it in a major motion picture.
Oh, yeah. And all the Antarctica stuff with aliens and all that kind of stuff and those things. And it's just, you know, now for people like you and I, it was entertainment. It was fun. And we know most of it's bullshit. You know, there are some things, though, that do have a mode of correctness to them. You know, like...
You're seeing some really crazy shit happen.
Oh, God. I mean... Do you remember the Bohemian Grove? Do you remember when I turned you out of
there? We knew someone that was there. We knew someone that went. We knew someone that got an invite, went there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that we worked with actually went
there. That's true.
He had a great time. He had a great time.
It was just
us to see the video. And again, Alex, bless his heart. You know, he started out, he gave us such wonderful insight. When we were watching the cremation of care ceremony online of this shaky video, and they were and the whole cremation of care ritual, you and I were like, holy shit, what the fuck, this is amazing, I can't believe they got this.
Yeah, and, it was great. I mean, it was great investigating.
It was great. Yeah, I'm always thankful to Alex for that.
Yes.
And that was how many years ago now? 20 years.
Oh, 20 years ago, about, I believe. And so
we're sitting there watching this online, and we watched the whole thing. It was because we were glued. As soon as it went up, I was glued to it. It was amazing.
I still have the DVDs. They're priceless. It's just, but look,
it's so great.
I mean, Alex got so money hungry. Now Alex has come out and said, you know, in more private quarters, that it's all bullshit. Everything's bullshit that he does, except for that. I don't think that was. I think what he thinks it was all about, you know, some satanic.
He didn't know.
No, he didn't.
He didn't know what he was going to step in.
No,
he didn't know. And when he was there, I'm sure that he was shit.
Oh, he was.
When they started to burn that effigy, and they got all these people around, and they're all giving their cheers. Oh my God! He probably was like, "Oh my God! Do they know I'm here? I'm next. They're gonna put me on the pyre."
Right.
But he did it. He pulled it off. It was awesome. It was great.
Yeah, he did. And that was a crowning glory of himself. And then when he came out with the Connecticut, what was that school in Connecticut where the kids all got killed?
When he
came out with that, he really cut his own, cut his own throat big time, you know. And then his wife, you know, flipped on him, and
I understand the idea of a false flag, right?
Sure.
And there's been multiple instances throughout the history of this world that false flags have happened. We know for a fact that they have.
Of course.
You know, there was one that happened not too long ago in Syria.
Right.
Absolutely. And after it happened, and the record was straightened about what it was that actually happened to that chemical attack, that they never published the fact that it was just chlorine. It was chlorine. And it wasn't out of a rocket attack. It was probably a 50-gallon drum that was dropped out of the helicopter, and it hugged the ground, and it killed everyone that was around there. It wasn't some biological weapon. It wasn't gas or
waste disposal.
Leftover bullshit from
waste disposal.
It was just it was chlorine, readily available in a massive quantity that used for water treatment, and they didn't want the Americans to leave. They didn't want the Americans to leave. Those people wanted us to stick around. Why would Al-Assad want to do that when he was with me? What's the point? Why would you bother? Doesn't make any sense. And then the photos that they released, you've got this basically rocket that's laid up on a bed, and then supposedly that thing just went through a ceiling. It's like, it was all staged, it was all bullshit. Because they wanted to keep us in there. And the powers that be, they knew it was bullshit.
Right.
But it made the New York Times and kept us in that fucking war. And there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money in. I'm just making a wild prediction. There's a lot of time between now and we're supposed to get out of Afghanistan, and I I don't doubt for a moment there's going to be a thing that happens that's going to turn the tide that wants to pick her.
Yeah, we only have, what, 3,500 troops there. So
yeah, but there's some event that could come down. And look at all the people that don't want us out of there because they're making a lot, trillions of dollars we spent.
Oh, yeah.
For no good reason.
Well,
no good outcome. We're going to change the events that are going to unfold.
Right.
It's a complete, total disaster.
Right. You know, it's just, I've been saying for years that there's really no conspiracies. It's all a business plan. They're business plans.
It's business.
It's business. It's nothing else, really. I mean, there's, and just like most businesses, they're not democracies. You know, they're authoritarian organizations. Most businesses are, and the real plan of the organization is always kept secret. It's always been secret. It's been
exactly.
The only thing you know that's correct is it's all about making money and making profit. That's what it's all about.
Exactly.
And what are they ever?
And when you're a contractor, and you're going to your job in Falls Church, Virginia.
Right.
And you go into that contractor's office and you say hi to Carol on the way in.
Right.
Get your coffee and you sit at the desk and process all your paperwork. Do you sit there knowing that the company that you work for just dropped a fucking bomb on a bus full of kids in Yemen?
Right.
No. No, they're good people. I think people are genuinely, for the most part, people are good. And they don't want to believe that the company that they work at, that they're contributing to, would sell a bomb to an authoritarian government that would happily drop it on a busload of children. They cannot, they've completely disconnected those events. And there's no way that they, in their little role, would contribute to those children dying in a giant ball of fire. They couldn't possibly do that every day. And I guess it takes the public waking up and go, hey, we can't support. This is our money that you're spending
right.
to support these fucking assholes who are murdering people for no good fucking reason.
Right.
And we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to tolerate it. It's intolerant. And I don't think that moment's ever going to come because people are busy. People have got other shit to do. We got to get enough food so that we don't eat each other.
That's right.
It's a tough deal.
It's just like, and then the way these things have evolved over the years, like one of the questions that gets asked on the other show all the time is, well, who do you think killed Kennedy? And,
well, I've been at the bookstore. I've stood in the window.
Right.
It's not that hard a shot.
No.
Not that hard.
Yeah, I mean,
you're looking down, so you got an advantage. You're open sights, so you got nothing in your way.
Right.
It's not that hard a shot. It wasn't some miraculous, one in a million shot.
It was a flat shooting rifle that shoots flat. You know, high muzzle velocity. And Oswald knew how to shoot that rifle. He had been trained how to shoot the rifle. And he just, it's like, well, who made him do it? I don't think anybody did. I think he made himself do it because he was just a fucking, kind of in a way, he wasn't a real whack job, but he was enough of a fringe guy that he was just like, he acted alone, you know? And then the weird shit, though, is the Jack Ruby shit. That's the weird shit.
Yes, and here's the thing about Jack Ruby. This is the part that I like. So what I would encourage is anyone listening, if you're not familiar, you need to go online and watch Darren Brown videos. Darren Brown is an illusionist. He's off the head. And he pulls off these ridiculously complicated, complex, suggestive environments and makes people do crazy shit that they wouldn't otherwise do through the power of suggestion and hypnosis, which is a real thing, absolutely real. He's proven it over and over again that it's real. Some people more susceptible than others to suggestion.
Right.
And they're just easy to control.
Well, yeah.
It's very possible that old Ruby the drunk was in a bar and ran into one of the guys who knew exactly how to do just that. Yep. If he didn't know why he was even walking down that ramp.
No.
He didn't. When you talk to him after, when he gave his interviews after, he didn't remember shit. He didn't. He claimed to not even know why he was there.
Yeah.
And when the gal came to interview him and had the whole thing on tape, and then she magically fucking died in the car. Oh my God, that's amazing. It's amazing. So, and it's, to me, there's an open possibility that in order to cover up whatever involvement there might have been in manipulating Lee Harvey Oswald, that old Jack Ruby was tapped to take care of it. And he probably was unaware of what he was set out to do.
No.
Which is...
It's not...
That's the thing that makes the most sense.
It's not that much different than James Earl Ray. Not that much. I mean... You know, I mean, he was more motivated because of the kind of person he was. But it's just that act, you know, that is either planned for or not really planned for very much or suggested, like you said. And it's just, boom, shit happens. You know, why does the guy come home at night and he's pissed off at everything and he kills his whole family and himself? Because he just has that 1 minute.
Happens a lot. Yeah. It just happens when you get laid off from your postal job. And,
right.
You know, it's just one of those things.
It's like that one company.
It's going to happen more and more.
That's like that one company we used to work with all the time who had an essential component to some of the products. And the same thing happened there. Guy came in one day, killed the boss and a couple other people. Boom. Insane.
It's pretty outrageous when it happens to someone that you know.
Right.
You've worked with on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah. It is crazy.
I mean, that's something I tell people, you know, just during conversations. But yeah, I knew someone that was killed in their office by a disgruntled employee.
Yeah.
They're like, what? So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we worked with him on a regular basis.
All the time.
Knew him very well.
All the time.
And he's dead, man. He's dead, been dead for years. It's because some guy came in and said he was going to fucking do him in.
And that company's still going. Incredible. Still going. Still run by the family. Still going. So there you go. Yeah, still going.
Shocking.
Well, yeah, I mean, this shit happens all the time. I think a major thing with people is they don't understand human nature. You know, they just don't. I mean, when you deny human nature and try to make us into more than we are, you know, because we are a lot of things. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we have the capacity to love, you know, greatly and have a lot of compassion and also just snap and kill each other, you know, so people just kind of are in denial of human nature, I think, quite a bit. I mean, the more I come to understand it, the more I go, nothing surprises me as much. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's surprises, but it just, you know.
There is one common theme amongst a lot of those disgruntled employee or workplace things is that the idea that they had in their head of what that they were owed, of what, you know, their work was supposed to bring them as far as a lifestyle, the way they were going to live, that all the things that they knew they were going to, they feel like someone impeded their progress or stopped them or worked against them to try to keep them away from reaching those goals or that they felt tread upon. Some way. Now, it might have been completely made up. I mean, there's a lot of people walking around this country with undiagnosed mental health. It's just something we always have to live with. But some people just have the idea that they had in their head of what they were owed, what their work was supposed to produce for them as far as level of success. And then the people that they decided were holding them back or oppressing them or keeping them from reaching that.
That's it. You know,
and then they stop at Dunkin' Donuts on the way in, just like they always do. They put an extra clip in that nine. They go in and solve that problem. And then usually they eat a bullet at the end.
Crazy.
It
is crazy. I mean, after all these years of, and you know, it's kind of like if you put a bunch of monkeys in a cage and you overcrowd them, they start killing each other. They start fucking each other in the ass and masturbating all the time and they start, you know, hurting each other and killing each other. And that's, maybe that's kind of what's going on. I mean, you know, you know, with people.
The pressure's there. Pressure's there.
And
but the bottom line is, this is a giant, it's a big world.
Yeah.
Many big people say it's a small world, big world, and you can go find your place in the world, and it might not be in that place that you thought it was going to be.
Right.
Most likely, as you get older and your material desires wane, and you don't have that need to be like the other folks and have what the other folks have, and, you know, that you realize that you can live a more simple life, more satisfying life, maybe in a place that's not as crowded or busy. Hopefully people find peace before they decide to eat that bullet in the cafeteria.
Right. And, you know, the funny thing of all that is that we can tell people till we're blue in the face not to take the actions of others personally. And you can know that, and I can think that, and yet something happens, like with the employment thing you're talking about or the compensation thing, and it gets taken personally. I take it personally. It's like, you guys are trying to fuck me. You know, and that's not the case at all. They're just trying to make money, profit. That's all. And, you know, okay, so.
Yeah, there's it.
Yeah. This is worth to us. The profit is worth more. And it's not. And that's how I get through it, is I realize that it's not personal at all. It has nothing to do with that. You know, it has everything to do with the bottom line. And that's what most things are all about. They're all about that bottom line. You know, that's why in 75 Exxon knew what they were doing to the environment. They knew big time. They did all the research, and it was like, well, got to keep making money.
Yeah, they knew. I mean, there's a lot of things that people have done over the years that they knew was damaging to other people, and
it
didn't matter because they weren't going to live in that place, and they were going to be somewhere else with all the cash.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're a younger person and you're just starting out trying to decide where you want to be in this world.
Right.
And what you want to be in this world, there's something that I personally, as a younger person, came to the conclusion that this is all a game. It's all a game. And money buys freedom. And if you want to buy your freedom, if you want to have freedom, freedom isn't free. It costs a lot of money.
Right.
So there's a lot of dumb people out there that make a lot of money. You don't have to be a PhD to go make a bunch of cash. You just have to be able to see an opportunity and act on an opportunity and have a plan in place. The more cash that you're able to amass, the more free eventually you'll become. Unless you decide that you're going to skim off the books and then you're going to end up in a place where people who try to cheat.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Or you can get to a country that doesn't have extradition.
Yeah. No, you... there. It's just... yeah, it's just all about the money, man. It's all
it is about the money.
And it's like, if you want to find something out about something, follow the money.
It's always there. It's always there. It's the big motivating factor. A lot of people, it's either money or religion. So that's the two things that both people. Either their foundational beliefs or it's cash.
Yep, that's right.
But we left out a whole bunch of conspiracy. There's tons, and there's more evolving all the time. And
yeah.
So we'll have to.
We'll do another segment. Yeah, we'll do another segment. Yeah.
We'll pick out a top conspiracy that we like. We'll dive into it a little bit
Yeah, let's do that. And I'm gonna let my buddies. I'll put this one up later today, and I'll let my buddies. I'll send them the link so they can listen to it. They'll get a kick out of you because, you know, you really nail it. You know, with the at least with the David Icke thing. I mean, you know, and one of them came to me a while back and said, "Well, Jordan Peterson, I think he's really cool."
He's just making some money for himself, man. He's just trying to make himself some money.
It's what he did. Yeah, it was about the bottom line one more time. And he even admitted he did this interview with Michael Shermer. You know, Michael Shermer is he's the head editor at Skeptic. And he just told
someone who knew better.
He just told Shermer. He goes, "Well, I don't have anything new. This is, you know." Because all he did was rehash a bunch of stuff from the men's movement, write books about it, and get a bunch of incels to buy the books. Bunch of incels and ignorant fucks who had no historical current event perspective, you know, on those movements like that. So, but he admitted. I thought that was cool. I thought it was cool because he admitted.
As the generations kind of churn, as we kind of turn over the next into the, there's a bunch of new people that have never been exposed to these things, so I guess you got a whole new group of people to take money from. You just repackage an old tale that had an appeal back in the day, there's no reason why it wouldn't have an appeal.
Yeah, and then, you know, he tried to be an expert on Marxism and why Marxism is bad, and it's just really clear to people who know something about Marxism that he doesn't. So it was it appeals to that, you know, Red Scare mentality that people still have, you know.
Exactly. The only reason why Marxism will never work, it's because we're humans. If we were robots, Marxism would be a great system. But there's something we have called lust and greed.
Oh, yeah.
And greed will prevail. Will prevail. So it's hard to set up a system where we all share equally.
Right.
Because someone's going to want more than the other. It always happens. Every single time. I don't think that there's ever truly been.
Right.
Ironically, the place where Marxism has probably been the most successfully implemented is probably in Israel.
Yeah.
All the
cooperatives.
What do they call the? Oh yeah, there's
the kibbutz.
The kibbutz.
Well, and it's that's, you know, actually, if you look at communist China, right.
Well, there's no communism there. That is an authoritarian capitalist system.
Well, that's a good argument.
The people on top have absolute total control of all of that.
Oh yeah, it's just authoritarianism.
Sharing of resources.
It's not communism. It's not socialism. It's authoritarianism. That's all it is.
Oh no, it's never.
It's a central.
Mao's vision was always bullshit.
It's central planning. It's central planning by the state. That's all it is.
It's not communism.
No, it's
not. And not that I'm a proponent. I'm a huge capitalist. I love capitalism. I've thrived in capitalism. I think it's the best system
we have
thus far. And I think that if done well and kept in check, I think it's a great system for the benefit of the most people possible.
Right.
And, you know, people have access.
Right.
It's just what capitalism just needs to decide what we do with people that just can't make it. And that's really a conversation for another time.
Yeah, it is. I think that you have to mix all these things personally. That's just kind of a quick out for me on that. I think you have to mix a lot of things to be more equitable.
There's a certain number of people that are always going to be there. They just can't do it. No matter what, they're not going to be able to function and be successful in this system. They're always going to have issues. They're always going to need help. And we either help them or we step over them on the street to get to where we're going.
If people don't have opportunities, they don't advance. And that's a big flaw. You know, you have to create...
a lot of people... need medication. There's a lot of undiagnosed, like I said, undiagnosed mental illness. But hey, I said, we'll cover that one on another time. We'll talk about when Reagan threw all the crazy people on the street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a beautiful one, wasn't it? That was a beautiful one. Yeah. Well, he was, God, talk about somebody who was obviously a buffoon and a front man who people just became completely enamored with. That's why the whole Trump phenomenon didn't surprise me at all. It was like, you guys don't know who this guy is.
Wasn't surprised.
Yeah. If you guys knew who this guy is, you would never pay him any attention or any mind. Like a lot of people who knew him did. I mean, it's like Mark Cuban came right out and said, I'm pretty sure he's broke. And I think he had a pretty good assessment. So was Bloomberg. Bloomberg called him out, you know, and all he could do was.
Well, you and I saw his credit back in the day.
Oh, what credit?
He couldn't buy a bus pass with a debit card.
Yeah. No, but he could get money from a Russian buddy to buy it. He could, and he did. You know, I mean, yeah, of course he was. He was in with, Trump was in with anybody that would benefit him. Anybody or anything, didn't matter who or what, didn't matter about politics or policies or anything like that. He just, whatever he could do to get what he wanted, he would do it. That's what he does.
That's what happens when you're literally amoral.
Yeah.
Sociopath. Morality.
Complete, total sociopath. Yeah, not like most CEOs.
How do you even say this? An anti-intellectual.
Yeah, because as we know from people who were intimately involved with his education, he's basically an idiot in some ways. I mean, he's just not an intellect at all. He's just... He's really good at hypnotic language, and that's
he's got that down, and he nailed that. And but he also he goes by his gut.
Yeah, and basically his gut is full of shit. So that's it. Yeah, I mean, oh boy. I'm glad I had a number of bowel movements today. Anyway, so...
There you go.
Anyway, Carl. Anyway, CJ, it's been great, man. I want to thank you for coming on, and we will do this again. This is just part one. We will do this again.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll give people insight into the conversations that we used to have when we used to share an office back.
Oh, yeah, we will.
It was off the rail.
I have one I'm going to leave you with, which is... remember our thing about the... what are they called? It was the pre. The Jews that went to Poland. What was the name of them?
Oh, the Khazaris.
The Khazaris.
The old Khazaris.
I have a whole thing on I'll turn you on to. There's a whole new thing about that.
It's
a
great. One of my favorite books is The Jews of Khazaria. If you ever wondered why the people living in Israel have no melatonin. And blue eyes and red beards.
It's because
that
they're
book will answer a lot.
Well,
of questions.
It's because they're Europeans, yeah. But then the whole debunk of it is they have found genes, okay, in most of them that do go back to Israel. Because here's the thing.
We'll save this for another time because there's a genetic bottleneck that we can talk about.
Yeah.
23andMe is happy to discuss that bottleneck at the time that happens. But guess what? It's about 1,000 AD.
Well, and the sea peoples. You have to look at the sea peoples, you know, because the sea peoples came from the Mediterranean, and so they were white. Well, not that the other guys are not white or that it matters what they were, but The sea peoples are the ones that really populated the whole region. So it all makes sense, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's like you said, there's the only real ethnic Jews are Sephardics. That's the only ones. So.
I'm going to say something that's going to really piss off a lot of people if they're Jewish, is that Jerusalem's fallen several times over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And the people who were indigenous to that place decided that they were going to follow a new religion around 600-700 AD.
Sure.
And so the people that are there that practice that religion most likely are the Sephardic people converted by it was either convert or die. And when it was sacked, that's the religion they became. And so the crazy part about that whole situation is that the people who are occupied there are most likely the native people, or more closely related to the native people of that area, were the original inhabitants of the city of Druze.
Yep.
All that just pissed a whole bunch of people off.
Right. And
people,
they're not.
They got so mad. And they're mad right now more than they've ever been.
Yeah, like the fact that there's no real Arabs, except for that one area down in Nabatea, which was down in Saudi Arabia, right? That was the Arabs. And all the rest of the people that claim to be Arabs are not Arabs. You know, they're not. I mean, the Egyptians are Egyptians. They're not Arabs. Anyway, we'll talk about that shit another time. It's pretty funny. There's a dude I'm going to turn you on to that I found out about a little, because I listened to the Mythic channel that's on YouTube. And he had this guy called Jacob Berman, who has done a lot of this origin stuff. And his stuff is really interesting. Very interesting. So, yeah.
Very cool. Send it over. I want to read it.
Oh, God. He's got a whole series of stuff. But he's more of an etymology, you know, etymology viewpoint, you know, like languages and names and stuff. But it's pretty interesting. So I'll send that on over. And CJ, you have a great day and what's left of it. And we'll set up to do another one here in the future, buddy.
Absolutely. Mondo, pleasure as always. Talk soon.
Yep. Talk soon. Take care, buddy. Bye.
You too.